Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Daytona Beach International Airport, offering new nonstop service to New York City and Boston, Massachusetts, beginning December 4th. Daytona Beach International Airport features convenient access to the terminal, easy and close parking, and more. Details at flydab.com.
Ah, but I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now.
Welcome into Growing Boulder. I'm Mark Middleton. Coming up today, the world's oldest action hero just happens to be a woman, and you're going to meet her. The man who turned a family financial tragedy into a nonprofit that can help you wipe out your medical debt. The world's oldest Swiftie. The woman who says her car being destroyed in a hurricane actually changed her life for the better. And the doctor is in. World-renowned expert on healthy aging, Dr. Vonda Wright, has three tips to change the way you age. This is Growing Bold. Well, of course, the goal as we get older is to be driven by passion and not constrained by fear. Unfortunately, though, many of us do become afraid to try new things or meet new people. We become risk-averse when now really is the time for risk-taking. And I'm not talking about risking injury or financial security. I'm talking about the risk of embarrassment, of failure, rejection, the risk of change, vulnerability. We can't let fear keep us from discovering what's next. Because to be afraid to fail is really to be afraid to live. If you keep going, you learn what we've learned from the thousands of people we've interviewed over the years, and that is that it's never too late to learn new things, to have new experiences, and to create new relationships. And if you're June Squibb, never too late to become an action star. June is a true legend of both stage and screen with a career that spans over six decades and still going, including an Oscar nomination for her work in Nebraska alongside Bruce Dern. June is now 95 years old and enjoying the success of her first ever starring role. She plays the title character in the action comedy Thelma, which critics have given 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. So let's welcome America's newest action hero, also America's oldest action hero, 95-year-old June Squibb. June, how are you doing today?
I'm good, good. Glad to meet you.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on your incredible success. And I know it's nothing new. You've been successful your entire career. But, and also thank you, because Thelma is really obviously not the stereotypical supporting character of someone's grandmother who just mumbles something once and then everybody laughs at. What did you think when you first read the script and envisioned yourself playing this role and literally carrying the entire film?
I was excited just reading the script. I knew immediately that I wanted to do it. And there was just no question in my mind that I was going to do this film. When I just started reading it, it was so wonderful. Well, this whole thing about aging, which, of course, I'm facing all the time, every day. And I just felt that Josh had done such a beautiful job telling the story of this woman.
Josh, the director, and it's actually based upon a true story.
His grandmother. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about the plot.
Well, it's the story of a woman who is scammed out of $10,000, and she's determined to get it back, and she does. And much to her family's dismay, and she has a grandson that loves her very much and is around to help her, and she has a friend that she wasn't even that crazy about, but he had a scooter, and she felt she had to get around in L.A., so she would take his scooter. And they win. I mean, that's what's so wonderful about this film. They come out as great winners. They have done what they set out to do, get the money back.
It's a great film, you know, by any measure,
yes.
June. And, you know, we love your performance by any measure. But I have to tell you, one of the things I really love about you is back to what you just said. You read the film or you read the script at 94 years old and you couldn't wait to do it. Why were you not afraid? Because most older people beyond 70 or 80 or 90 are afraid to do almost anything.
I guess I've just never been afraid of very much, I think. And I've been working. I was working probably, or just before when I read that script. So, and I worked after it. So, I, you know, it's just what I do, I guess. I never think of it in terms of what is there to fear. And I never think of aging, you know, as that big of a problem, to be honest. I mean, there is, you don't move as well, and that I'm very aware of. But other than that, you know, I've got it up here pretty much. And, you know, I could talk to people. I can read still. I could watch television.
And, you know, forgive us. And I sense you're not bothered by it at all, June. But it's almost impossible now to talk about June Squibb without in the same sentence or the next sentence saying 94, 95 years old. And that was we always avoided that for years. But at some point, you got to embrace it and be proud of it because it is so darn inspiring. Are you bothered by the fact that everybody says June Squibb 95?
No. In fact, I am rather proud of it now at this point in my career, in my life. And I remember in New York, we used to take 5 years off. And I always looked younger than my age. So I did that for years. And they outed me during Nebraska. Wikipedia outed me and had my actual age in print. So I decided from then on, well, everybody knows. So why am I just wasn't bothered by it anymore.
And you're doing such a good thing because, you know, you're proving to people that you can still live with passion and energy and enthusiasm and be fearless. And speaking of being fearless, you did your own stunts in this film. And I don't want people to dismiss this or laugh about it. You know, the stunts that I'm referring to are driving the scooter. But there's 30-year-old actors who wouldn't drive a scooter in a movie. Was that ever an issue with the producers of this film? Should we let June do her stunts or not?
Very much. No, I read the script and I thought, I can't wait to get on that scooter. To me, it was just the most fun in the world. And they were worried to death. And they told me, now, don't worry about the film, because when you shoot, you'll take something up to a certain point and then the stunt woman will take over. And I just kept thinking, well, this is ridiculous. I can do this. And I proved to them that I could drive the scooter. And so then they let me do that. And then they started letting me do things on it. And then the bed rolls and all of that. And I kept saying, I think I can do this. And it ended up with me really, truly doing almost all of it.
It's a funny film. It's a touching film. As I mentioned, the reviews have been great from the critics and the audience. Why do you think it struck a chord with so many?
People love it, and they see it two and three times. I cannot tell you how many people have come up and said, we've seen it the second and third time already. And I don't know what it is. I think maybe it is the age thing that we're showing that there's still life after 65, you know. I don't know what it, but boy, he really touched. And I think it stems from the script. I really do. I just think that he touched upon something with that script that people want to see. And they love it. I've never had so much love from film audiences.
You know, the film Thelma aside, and obviously some notable others, I think it's fair to say that Hollywood has been ageist to some extent for many, many years. It's very easy to stereotype older people. It's got to feel good to play the role that you played, someone that is smart and savvy and witty and funny and gets stuff done.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's interesting because now if I do a round table or if there's a group of actors talking, this comes up, you know, and I think we all feel it's better that things are happening. And just look at some of the leading ladies this year. Many of them are in their 50s and 60s, and that would not have happened earlier. And I do think that they're listening. It's not happening as fast as we would want it to. But I do think that, and I think the audiences are saying it. The audiences are saying, we want reality. We want to see people like us, like our neighbors. You know, we want to see where the real people are in film.
Folks, we're speaking with the Oscar-nominated actor June Squibb, who is the star shot the film at 94 years old. She's now 95, the star of Thelma, which you can see on multiple streamers right now. And June, you've worked with over your career, I mean, the likes of Al Pacino and Jack Nicholson and Martin Scorsese and Woody Allen, despite the fact that you have been a celebrated, accomplished actor for decades. This is your first ever starring role. Did you ever foresee becoming an action hero, starring in a film in your 90s?
Never. I never foresaw any of this, I'll tell you that. No, I never did. I thought I would be working. It never occurred to me that I would stop working. But, you know, to have this film now at this point in my life is, well, it's a joy. It has given me so much happiness. It really has.
Your first ever starring role in Thelma is not a one-off. I understand you've already wrapped a film playing the lead in Eleanor the Great, which is the directorial debut of Scarlett Johansson. Do you feel pressure now, more pressure than you felt before being number one on the call sheet?
No, I don't think I do. And I have done, in between those two, I did a one-day shoot on something that really interested me. And I've been offered some things now, you know, that are going back to a supporting role. And that's fine. I mean, it's to me, it's the script. If the script talks to me and makes me feel, oh, I do want to do this, then I do it.
That's phenomenal. You know, so many older adults, June, are unhappy or, you know, have just given up, because we believe that life after 60 or 70 and certainly after 90, barely worth living. What do you say to that? How do you, I mean, because you obviously are filled with energy and enthusiasm.
Well, I just think that you don't have to give up. It's as simple as that. You know, you there are things that any one of us can do. I mean, if you're in a wheelchair, you still there are things you can do and things that can excite you. So I think that's such an individual choice. And I think you're right. I think many, many people are doing that, you know, are giving up.
What's next for you? I know you mentioned other projects. You've got this film with Scarlett Johansson. Is there any other big films in the works that we should know about?
No, there really isn't. I'll be, you know, doing things for Eleanor. I'm sure they will, you know, want to do festivals and all of this. And I will be by her side if that's what will help the film.
You know, love the smile, love the laugh, but I know, June, you've had your struggles. It's part of the human condition. But wrap this up for us, if you will. And I know you've touched on some of this, but what's the moral of the story? What's the big takeaway about life in general from someone who is 95 years old and obviously still enjoying every day?
I think the one thing that I realize now is that I sometimes worried too much about what other people thought. Hmm. And I've other actresses have mentioned this. I think it's a big thing when you're an actress, an actor, and trying to start out. And that's hard because you constantly have the pressure of, you know, you're wrong and somebody else is right. And you can't listen to it. I think that you just simply, I think you find out who you are as much as you can, and then you live that life and be proud of it. Even with all the negatives, God knows I made tremendous mistakes in my career, in my life. But, you know, you get over them, you pass over them, and you go on and live.
What a delight. Folks, she is the inspiring June Squibb. You can catch Thelma now streaming on multiple services and look for her upcoming film, Eleanor the Great. And who knows what's next from the irrepressible June Squibb. June, thanks so much. And really, not just for entertaining us, but more importantly, inspiring us to know that the most important things in our life really don't have an expiration date, and it's never too late for almost anything, including becoming an action star.
And I certainly feel that's something I've gotten out of Thelma, is to be called an action star.
Feels pretty good, doesn't it?
It does. It's fun. Yeah.
Well, talk about being busy. June's new film, Eleanor the Great, Scarlett Johansson's directorial debut, is now playing in theaters. And once again, June is receiving rave reviews for her performance as Eleanor. Coming up, medical debt is a crisis affecting millions of people and devastating families through financial ruin and psychological distress. And after seeing his own family affected, Jared Walker is doing something about it because that's growing bolder.
Support for Growing Bolder provided by...
If you or a loved one are over 65 and need a ride, check out Uber. Many Medicare Advantage Flex cards help cover the cost of Uber rides to appointments and important deliveries with Uber Eats like groceries and over-the-counter medication. Learn more at uberhealth.com/card or call 1-866-827-4584. Welcome back to Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton. You know, the world is made better year in and year out by people who are confronted with their own challenges, their own tragedies, who then become passionate about helping others avoid the pain and the frustration and the loss that they suffered. That's the story of Jared Walker, whose mission in life now is to help those who can't afford medical debt be relieved of that medical debt. He helps prevent medical emergencies from becoming financial catastrophes. Jared is the founder of $4, which is a nonprofit that has helped individuals and families wipe out nearly $80 million in medical debt using a little-known, fully legal, and highly effective program. So let's find out more about how he's helped thousands and how he might be able to help you too at no cost. Jared Walker, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
We're thrilled to have you. Thanks for what you do. And you know, Jared, I'm fascinated by origin stories, especially those of nonprofits, because they almost always include a personal tragedy followed by passion and perseverance from somebody who is both pissed off at the system, frustrated by the inequities, determined to help others avoid what they face. So if I can ask, what is your origin story?
That sums it up. Frustration with the system. I think, I started $4 watching my own family go through a medical emergency. So my wife and I were sitting at home and she got a phone call. Her aunt had passed away from cancer. And then a couple minutes later, I got a phone call. My cousin had gone into labor 7 weeks premature and the baby needed heart surgery to live. So same day, same hour, we both get hit with these medical emergencies in our family. And I remember, the number one conversation was, how are we going to pay for it? How much is this going to cost? And that really frustrated me. You know, the reality of the U.S. healthcare system is when you have a medical crisis, a lot of times you have a financial crisis. And I wanted to help people in that situation. So that's kind of what started this whole thing. I originally started $4 as $4 Portland. It was a local crowdfunding, grassroots organization that helped people pay medical bills. So every month we would pool money together and pay medical bills for people in our community. So that's kind of how it started. And then I'm sure we'll get to how it's evolved from there.
Well, I know one of the things that ignited the explosion of what you do was you joining TikTok of all social platforms. You put a video on TikTok that pretty much underscores just how unknown Charity Care is, which is the organization, the program that you use to help others, because that TikTok video, if you will, became a media sensation. Tell us what happened.
Yeah. So from 2015 to 2020, I was doing the crowdfunding thing. I was paying medical bills, for people in our community. And, I then learned about hospital charity care, hospital financial assistance. And this is a federal law that went into place with the Affordable Care Act. So it requires nonprofit hospitals, which is most in America, to have these charity care policies. It's basically how they keep their tax exempt status. And if you are within a certain income range, the hospitals are legally required to write off or reduce the medical bills. And that is what charity care is. And a lot of people just don't know about it. Hospitals don't do a great job of telling people about it. So there are millions and millions of people declaring bankruptcy or going on payment plans for bills that they do not have to pay. And I had spent the last 5 years paying medical bills for low-income families that all would have been eligible for these programs. So once again, I was frustrated by the system. And, you know, this kind of best kept secret, you know, that so many people could get help. And, you know, hospitals just aren't telling people. So I, at the beginning of 2021, I got on TikTok and, you know, started talking about charity care. And, you know, the year prior to that, I was helping patients fill out the paperwork and diving into these applications and just trying to get more familiar with, you know, how do you access this program, which is extremely difficult at times. And in a few months, I got $1 million of medical debt to be cleared for people in the Portland metro area. And that is what sparked me to get on TikTok and say, hey, you know, there's something that y'all don't know. I use TikTok to spread the word about it. And that video went on to get like 30 million views and kind of catapulted us into a national organization that does this nationwide.
Yeah. Just like that, you're not only on TikTok, you're on Instagram and Buzzworthy and NPR and on. And, you know, TikTok is a fairly provocative platform, if you will. And you're just talking about something that exists. But I think the fact, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jared, that, you know, the fact that it exploded is that, A, it exists, it's real, and almost nobody talks about it. It's not promoted. And you mentioned that hospitals don't promote it, but son of a gun, they don't make it easy to find out about it. I mean, it's on their websites, but you got to search, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the TikTok video was, this is how you can navigate to find your hospital's charity care policy, because they're so hidden. We, you know, at $4, we say our mission is to make charity care known, easy, and fair. Because right now, nobody knows about it. You leave the hospital, you have no idea that these programs exist, and you're hit with a big bill you can't afford. And then even if you do know about it, the process is really difficult. I mean, a lot of these hospitals are still requiring patients to fax their applications back in, or, you know, fill out loads of paperwork and you know, attach all this proof of income and all that. So it can be really difficult. And then at the end of the day, you know, sometimes you'll hear back from hospitals, sometimes you won't. So we're trying to make this process easier. But yeah, I think that, you know, the TikTok video blowing up was just absolutely that. It was proof that it struck a nerve. You know, people hadn't heard of it and were kind of frustrated that they hadn't, because a lot of people, like I said, have, you know, been on payment plans or have been negatively impacted by hospital bills that they shouldn't have.
So you're a patient advocate, but fair to say that the $4 is a navigator of sense. Is that what you do? You just help people navigate the system and fill out the paperwork and get what they're entitled to?
Yeah. So what we've done is, I would say exactly, we're a patient advocate organization, patient navigation tool. We have created a database of every hospital in the country. We've recorded all of their charity care policy data and their eligibility criteria. So anyone can go to our website for free and put in their household size, their income, and what hospital, and it will tell them immediately if they're eligible at that hospital. So you can, within seconds, you can see if you are eligible for this program. We've got over 8,000 hospitals in that database. So once you find out if you're eligible, it automatically jumps you into a digital application where you can fill it out on your phone, your computer, your tablet, and it will lead you through the process. All of these applications are different. None of this stuff is standardized. So we've actually collected every hospital application and we have created a digital version of that. So you can fill it out, it automatically ships it to the hospital, and then we advocate on your behalf to try and get those bills reduced or eliminated through these programs.
We're talking with Jared Walker, who is the founder of $4, which is a service, a free service that helps people relieve themselves of medical debt. What if I've recently paid medical debt and I'm just listening to you today? Is it possible to get any refunds, or does it only work moving forward?
So if you are eligible for your hospital's charity care program and you apply and you have been on a payment plan, like you said, you know, you've made payments already, the hospital, if you are eligible, the hospital would be required to refund you what you've paid. Now, I don't think that is going to work if you have bills that you paid, you know, 3-4 years ago. But if it's a recent bill that you've paid and you can prove that you were eligible for that program, the hospital should be refunding you that money and you know, applying whatever discount onto those bills.
I think you touched upon this, Jared, when you mentioned the fact that these hospitals are nonprofits with a nonprofit tax status. But I think a lot of people, despite the fact that they may be facing personal tragedy and financial ruin, might fear that if they get their medical debt relieved, they're going to be taking, money from other patients, or they're going to drive some physicians into bankruptcy themselves. Tell us how this works, because this really isn't costing anybody anything, is it?
Yeah, you know, you're not going to bankrupt hospitals by having them, fulfill their charity care requirements. So, yeah, these hospitals receive billions of dollars in tax breaks, right? These hospitals are tax exempt. And the whole deal is that these large hospitals get to be tax exempt in exchange that they would provide community benefit. And in that community benefit is where charity care falls. So it's a good deal for the hospitals, and it's been a real good deal for them for a long time, because a lot of them have been getting all these tax benefits and not fulfilling their charity care. So I think that, you know, you don't have to worry. You're not taking money from somebody else. These hospitals have these programs, and even the income thresholds, they set the income thresholds for it. So they're not going to set something so high that it would get them in financial trouble. No worries at all on that. I have to remind people, hey, this is a program that exists. See if you're eligible. It's not going to impact others, and it's not going to bankrupt the hospital.
How big of a problem is it? How many Americans are now living on the edge of poverty? How many of us are in danger of being totally wiped out by a medical issue?
You know, there's a lot of data out there. I think, you know, we've all seen the, 54% of Americans wouldn't be able to afford a $500 medical emergency. That's a pretty big number there. Every year, hospitals miss about $14 billion of charity care that should be going out. Medical debt is still the number one cause of bankruptcy in America. So medical debt is an enormous problem. I mean, and it impacts so many other areas of your life. We have people that are neglecting care because the fear of the cost, right? Which then makes whatever medical emergency happen even more expensive once it happens. So, the medical bills is kind of the tip of the iceberg. Underneath that, you know, when you get these large hospital bills, sometimes you're not able to make your rent payment. You're not able to put food on the table. So I think that it impacts so much more of your life. And, you know, then you have the stress and the anxiety of it all as well, which we know goes up when you get these large hospital bills. And I think the other thing is, you know, you got to remember, the only reason that these people have these large hospital bills is because they just had a medical emergency. So they're also trying to recover from that, whether it be a surgery or going through chemo or, you know, car accident. So there's so many factors here, and a lot of people, you know, medical debt is something that can kind of push them over the edge and into a cycle of poverty.
It is, in fact, the number one cause of personal bankruptcies, I believe, medical debt. Are you as frustrated now, Jared, as you were years ago? Are you optimistic now? I mean, we live in the wealthiest country on the planet, and yet at a time of crisis, many families are forced to worry about a resulting financial crisis instead of the actual medical crisis.
Oh man, am I frustrated? I would say this: healthcare in the U.S. is an absolute mess, and charity care is a tiny piece of that mess, right? But that's our focus, because we know, again, $14 billion every year that could be put back into the pockets of low and middle income Americans is a big deal. So, you know, I think that I'm optimistic when it comes to charity care, because I think that the idea that we have low and middle income Americans that are declaring bankruptcy because of medical bills, like, that's why charity care exists. That shouldn't be happening. And I think that, you know, Dollar Four has a unique perspective on this. We have helped thousands and thousands of patients. So we know the patient struggle, and we know the obstacles, and we have a lot of patient stories, and there's power in that. So I think that fixing charity care, again, it's a small part of the U.S. healthcare system mess, but I do think in the years to come that we can put a pretty big dent in that $14 billion by continuing to spread the word about charity care and helping patients where we can, but also to move and push policy in that direction for long-term systems change, especially at the state level.
You're a guy who has got to be living on a double-edged sword to some extent, because I think people like you that are, you know, right up front and see both sides, you know, the good that you can do based upon the work that you perform, but also the tragedy on the other side for those who are affected by these challenges. I mean, what's it like to be you? You've got to be excited that you've got such a powerful passion and purpose, but it's got to be draining as well.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, the big motivator is definitely the stories, right? I mean, every single day we've got a Slack channel that all of our staff is plugged into. So every single day, every time a medical bill gets waived, we all get a notification. So, you know, today from this morning, $3,000, $7,000, $1,500, $12,000, $1,700. I mean, we've got dozens and dozens just from today. So seeing those numbers come in keeps us all pretty motivated, right? And I think, like you said, there's a flip side to that, because all of these is a powerful story in which somebody was, I would say, wronged by our healthcare system. They were not told about a program that could have helped them. And I think that there is a lot of that, you know, mental load where you're carrying a lot of weight and a lot of these stories. But you hear, you know, patients tell us, you know, I got a medical bill and I was forced with the decision between, am I going to pay this medical bill or continue my education? And because of Dollar Four, I was able to continue my education. And, you know, here's a picture of me at my graduation. So those are the types of things that we hear that really keeps us going. And, you know, there's no lack of need. So it's like, you got to keep going either way, unfortunately. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, ups and downs for sure.
Let's take Dollar Four out of the conversation altogether. In fact, let's take medical debt out of the conversation altogether. Talk about the impact that one person can have to make a difference in the lives of others. Because I'm guessing you were a guy that was cruising along doing whatever. I'm sure you had lots of passions. Your life was totally transformed by your desire to make a difference. What's the moral of the story? What can you tell us about our own individual ability to make a difference?
Oh, man. You know, I usually don't talk about this, but I appreciate the question. I was going through school and I was bartending when I started Dollar Four. People ask about, you know, what's your background? What were you doing before this? And it's like, nothing. I am a very unlikely founder. And I think that that's a powerful story that people can connect to. I don't have some crazy background, you know, in the nonprofit world or in the healthcare world or anything. Like, I'm just a normal guy that saw a problem. And I think that I just stuck with it was kind of the attitude that I had. And I didn't really expect it to get here. That's for sure. And just kind of rolled with the punches as I went. So I think, yeah, don't underestimate what you can do. Don't underestimate the goodness in people. You know, people, Dollar Four is fully funded through philanthropy by generous donors, people that believe in our work. You know, it's that Mr. Rogers, you know, find the helpers or you know, that quote. I think that is kind of, you know, what I've tried to, what's kind of kept me going and not thinking that, you know, what have I gotten myself into? Although I have thought that a few times. But yeah, you stick with it. And I think that, you know, people will find out about what you're doing one way or another. If, you know, if it's helping people.
Wow. An uplifting example for all of us to learn from, Jared. Thank you. So let's wrap this up for people that want to know more about you, either to help you or to avail themselves of their services. How can people get involved or get help from Dollar Four?
Yeah, the dollarfour.org is the website. You go there, it is right on the front page. And it is, you know, put in your household size, your income, what hospital. It will tell you immediately if you're eligible. So, and it's all free. We are not charging anybody. It is a free service and there is no harm in trying. Not only, you know, if you think you might be eligible or you have a hospital bill, hopefully we can help. But I always tell people, I have filled this out for my friends and my family members multiple times. So even if you don't have a hospital bill, you might be the solution for someone else. And I just encourage people to check it out, learn about what charity care is. If you have a hospital bill or know somebody, share the info, dollar4.org.
Jared Walker, thank you for all you do and for proving once again that any of us can make a difference. You can learn more about what Jared does and how he does it at dollar4.org. Coming up, she may be the world's oldest Swiftie. She is definitely one of the world's top luxury travel advisors. This is Growing Bolder.
Sign up for the Growing Bolder Insider newsletter, delivered to your inbox every week. Be the first to see our latest interviews, stories, and tips for making each day count. Sign up today at growingbolder.com. Miss an episode of Growing Bolder Radio? Subscribe to our podcast and get it on your mobile device. Details at growingbolder.com/podcasts.
Welcome back to Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton. Nancy Strong is a trailblazing icon in the travel industry. Now in her 90s, Nancy remains a force of nature, running a multi-million dollar international agency, mentoring the next generation of female leaders, and unexpectedly going viral after she was caught on video dancing at a Taylor Swift concert in Paris.
My name is Nancy Strong. I am the owner of Strong Travel Services in Dallas, Texas. I'm 90 years old, and I still love traveling the world. Why? Because it's all about the people.
Nancy Strong's first ever job was making $2 an hour delivering airline tickets for a Dallas travel agency.
They put out a directive that the five women working there would have to make their coffee. So I went to my typewriter in 1974 and wrote a memo saying, since I don't avail myself of the coffee, I'm not going to make it. They considered it the most revolutionary act and fired me on the spot. So here I was, my first job in my whole life, and I lost it.
Undeterred, she started her own agency, hired a friend, and leased a small office in a 60-story building. They marketed their services by riding up and down in an elevator, pretending to be customers of a hot new travel agency.
I would say, oh my, have you tried that new agency on the 10th floor? Oh, tell me about it. Oh, I said, they're wonderful. You have to try them. They're terrific. They're kind of new. So, you know, and we did this whole shtick.
The shtick stuck. She opened six additional locations, riding the elevators to success in corporate travel, leisure travel, and a new specialty that she helped pioneer, luxury travel. In 1993, the Wall Street Journal wrote a cover story about her unique, personalized approach to serving clients.
I would wrap a single yellow rose, the Yellow Rose of Texas, and I would wrap it with ribbon, and I would send one of the kids to the airport and get on the plane and present it to the wife with a little note from me saying, may every sight bring delight and every mile a smile. Enjoy your trip, Nancy Strong. It was a drop-dead gesture that they weren't going to forget.
Before the internet, she faxed baseball scores, photos of pets, and overnighted videotapes of football games to traveling clients.
The things I did were certainly out of the box and a little crazy to understand in today's world.
Today, Strong Travel Services has thousands of clients worldwide, and Nancy takes great pride in mentoring a new generation of female leaders.
I think women have the touch. We are nurturing, we understand, and we know about service.
One woman she is especially proud of is Taylor Swift. Nancy calls herself the world's oldest Swiftie.
My favorite song is The Man. Why? Because she had the experience, like I did with making the coffee and having men say, you have to do this. Her record company was saying, you can't have your records. And she said, excuse me, I'll make my own. And she did better than them. So that can-do attitude got my attention.
Her granddaughter, Jennifer Strong, is also a Swiftie, and they decided to try to get tickets to the Eras Tour in Paris. Nancy stayed up most of the night when the tickets went on sale and was awakened at 4 a.m. when Jennifer burst into her bedroom.
Rammy.
What?
We're going to see Taylor Swift.
We're going?
Yes.
And where?
In Paris.
Fantastic. Oh, my God.
Unbeknownst to me, she filmed it. It ended up on TikTok. And the next day, she called me. She said, Grammy, you've got 10,000 followers on TikTok.
They made it to Paris, and Nancy was having the time of her life dancing with 45,000 other Swifties.
Evidently, one of the people filmed me and threw it up on Instagram. My daughter-in-law called me, and she said, Grammy, you're famous.
These days, Strong Travel Services is a family business with three generations serving thousands of clients worldwide.
I have 12 grandchildren, 6 boys, 6 girls. These 6 granddaughters seem to take a page out of my book. You know, Grammy, we want to be like you. So I said, okay, if you want to be like me, this is how it works. You got to get up and go get them. You cannot sit here and watch another Netflix. You can't go to Starbucks and while the hours away. And you can't sit on Match.com.
It's advice that Nancy still lives by. At 90, she's excitedly looking forward to another decade of traveling, working, spending time with her family, and no doubt catching a few concerts.
Because you have to understand, even though we are rather senior, we still have the mind, the heart, and the spirit of a 20-year-old. I have a philosophy about old age. I tell all my friends, get a good hairdresser who knows how to color your hair. Learn how to put on the war paint so you don't look too old. And keep moving, because that's the key. That's the secret. Life is short. Enjoy the journey. There's no third act. Seize the day. And thank God for every day you have.
Well, like so many of the active older adults that we meet here at Growing Boulder, Nancy Strong is happily plugged into popular culture. She loves Taylor Swift, and she loves hanging out with teenagers, all while continuing to lead a global travel agency. All right, up next, how can a hurricane destroying your car ever be considered a good thing? Well, when it leads you to discovering another way to get around, maybe a better way to get around. This is Growing Boulder. We've got news. Watch.growingboulder.com, the world's first streaming site for active adults, is now live. Growing Boulder TV shows, national specials, documentaries, and inspiring videos on ordinary people living extraordinary lives 24/7 on demand for free. Watch.growingboulder.com is now live.
My guard stood hard when abstract threats to noble to neglect.
Welcome back to Growing Boulder. Bobby O'Hare discovered in her 70s that she finally had time to take art classes and develop her passion for painting. But when a hurricane destroyed her car, she thought she had lost her ability to get around and she'd have to give up her lessons. But she then discovered a benefit of her Medicare insurance that turned tragedy into triumph.
I literally said, I will not spend my old age vacuuming.
Bobby O'Hare is enjoying the freedom of exploring a passion she never imagined possible.
Everybody's just like, oh, I can't do art, I've never done it. And you show up in an art class and it just releases. It's like, oh, let this go, whatever it is. Because it's like a no-judgment zone. I can paint silly because I'm not afraid to be silly. So many years I didn't let myself be silly and crazy.
Bobby, like many of the people who come to my class, is a real firecracker. And she showed up with a lot of energy. I definitely believe we all are creative beings. Art and creativity, it's a very meditative opportunity. It really turns on all these things in your brain to just spend some time in that space, playing with colors and shapes, and not necessarily having to get tied down to things.
Suddenly your eyes are open up to how art works in everything we use. It's everywhere.
Bobby's ability to pursue her newfound passion was suddenly taken away by an act of nature.
My car was totaled in the hurricane. You'd think that'd be such a tragedy because I love my little car and it got totaled.
But tragedy turned into opportunity when Bobby turned to Uber.
So I decided to start using Uber. I can get in the car to a new art class. A lot of things have become easier. I'm glad I don't have a car. It's taken a lot of stress from my life.
Especially when she realized that qualified rides are a benefit of her insurance.
You can call Uber for low cost, and with the insurance paying for it, you can even get your prescriptions and medicine delivered by Uber. My doctor is kind of far away from me. It's too much stress for me to drive that long. So an Uber helps me tremendously. I've used it to come to my art class. That's exciting. That's like the freedom that you didn't expect to come from this. Uber is just a wonderful thing. Get up, get out, get over it. It doesn't have to be art. Just whatever you're thinking is scaring you or stopping you, really just let it go. Let it go and jump up and go, I can do this. I can do this.
Pursuing new passions and adapting to new challenges are two of the most important keys to happy and healthy aging. And when Bobby's car was destroyed by a hurricane, she never imagined it might actually improve her life. Thanks to Uber, though, she not only gets to art class, her insurance also covers qualified rides to the doctor and more. In fact, many Medicare Advantage Flex plans like Bobby's can be used on Uber for rides and for deliveries of groceries and medications. More information at uberhealth.com/card to learn about connecting your benefits with Uber, because losing your ability to drive doesn't have to mean losing your ability to get around. Well, the doctor is in today. Dr. Vonda Wright is a world-renowned orthopedic surgeon and an international authority on active aging and sports medicine. In fact, she spent decades studying the science of healthy aging and active longevity. She's a regular contributor to Growing Boulder, and she joined us for one of our live Launchpad to What's Next events, where she shared these three simple keys for living a longer, healthier life.
I want you to lift heavy weights. Put down the little mamby-pamby pink weights, please. I want you to lift as heavy as your bones will let you for 3 to 6 reps. This is how you build stem cells. This is how you build mitochondria, which are the powerhouses. And this is how you're not going to fall down from a standing position and break your hip. Number two, I want you to work in 20 jumps a day. You could do it just like this. This works 20 times. You could go up and down stairs. You could jump rope if you want. That will build better bones. Lift heavy and jump up and down. There is a myth in this country that you have to gut it out and sweat it out in all these boot camps to get really healthy and fit. Not true. Pro athletes spend 80% of their time in base training, which for us as mere mortal athletes is basically a brisk walk, getting our heart rates up, 45 to 60 minutes a day, and twice a week, you speed it up and sprint a little. That gathers a lot of power in our muscles. So that's three things: lift heavy, do plyo, and base train.
Another jam-packed episode of Growing Boulder, folks. We got some great advice from Dr. Wright. Heavy weights, a little jumping, and a lot of regular movement are the things we need to stay active and engaged as we get older. Jared Walker on not only how to get out from under medical debt, but more importantly, how anyone can make a difference in the lives of others. And how about Nancy Strong and June Squibb, a couple of 90-year-old women still going strong, still enjoying success in their chosen fields, and most importantly, still loving their life. Put it all together, and you've got a great recipe for growing bolder. We'll see you next time.